Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. The aim is to please God in everything we do. And in our last program, we were talking about the religious division that God hates. In John 17, Jesus prayed to the Father during his earthly ministry that all of his disciples be as one. So if we're doing anything, or we're creating anything, or we're adhering to some dogma that is divisive, then we need to be aware that we may be in error. Now I say maybe because of the fact that in 1 Corinthians the 11th chapter, God points out that truth is divisive. Jesus said on one occasion, I come not to send peace, but a sword. And there would be those that were even in the same family that would disagree with regard to what is right and what is wrong and be divided among themselves about how to follow God, as well as other things that they would be divided upon. But God wants us to teach the truth. He wants us to uphold the truth with love. And it's my desire to speak the truth clearly and plainly. That may offend some. That's not my ultimate intent, is to offend you. But if the truth offends you, I cannot help that. Because as Jesus said, He came and He taught the Word of God, and it offended people. In Galatians 4:16, Paul, by inspiration, asks the question, and I ask it today and in other time periods when we study matters of critical thought upon which we are divided and ought not be. Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning around verse 17, after dealing with the matter of the head covering for the women to wear when they are praying to God, and men to be uncovered, and for men to have short hair, and for women to have long hair in this New Testament dispensation. He says in verse 17, but in giving this instruction, I do not praise you because you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Now he's talking about when they come together as a local congregation, there's something that is wrong about that. That he could say, you're not coming together for the better, that is to do good things and get better and be well-pleasing in God's sight, but you're actually doing that which is wrong. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. And then he says in verse 19, for there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. And then he goes on to try to help them correct errors concerning their practice incorrectly of observing the Lord's Supper or communion on the first day of every week and the things that they were doing wrong with regard to proper observance. Yes, truth can divide, but factions will come that those that are doing right will be made manifest from those who are doing wrong. Well, I've got my right and you've got your right. Well, anyone can continue to hold to that which is false doctrine because God allows free moral agency. In our last study yesterday, we spoke concerning what I think we should have as an old-fashioned book burning. That was a hyperbole. Wouldn't it be great, though, if everything that was error that has been published by mankind, uninspired men and women, could be destroyed so no one would read that and follow it and be lost eternally? But I do not deny anyone the right to freedom of religion in so speaking. And I want to make that perfectly clear as I review my teaching and go back over my lessons and the recordings of this program. It is very important to me. James 3 and verse 1, the teachers, and that includes me, will receive a heavier judgment because of the things that we teach. But if I'm teaching that we need to throw away all creed books and false books of religion, and I'm saying don't follow them, oh, investigate them if you will, and investigating them, put them up against the inspired Word of God and see where truth is and where error lies. Now, I have many of these books in my library. I don't get rid of them. Why? So if someone comes and wants to study, we can open up the Bible and whatever their peculiar denominational creed book is, if I have it. If not, I ask them if they'll please bring it to the study. Because that which we agree on is not the problem. That which the people at Corinth, at the writing of the book of 1 Corinthians and the letter in 2 Corinthians, what they agreed on that was right in God's sight, you can agree on error and be wrong in God's sight, but where they had problems, Paul was trying to help them. Now think about this. What if every epistle in the New Testament was just commending good only? Well, we'd never see any correction of error. What does love demand? What does love, true love, demand? Well, it demands with God that He give us His Word and be fair to us so that we have an opportunity to please Him and be found faithful in that final day. Not meritoriously, but through the forgiveness of our sins. But our love is truly expressed, John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. I've got to know what book to turn to know what the true standard for religion is today, that I might begin to please God, ergo the title of our program, Pleasing God, and the scripture reference in the last chapter of the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. So do we believe that Scripture is from God? Some people say, well, I believe parts of the Bible. Well, how do you determine what parts are the true parts and what parts are the false parts if you take that position? Look at the book of John when Jesus was upon the earth in chapter 14, 15, and 16. Now, it was true, as Hebrews 1:1 points out, and I'm turning to John 14, 15, and 16, but over the period of time, God has spoken to man in divers ways and in various portions, piecemeal, if you will. Oh, there was Balaam's ass or donkey that spoke by the will of God. The truth. There were men and women prophets prophesying, inspired teaching of God, and prophetically foretelling future events that would take place. The men and the women respecting God's word concerning gender roles, and to be right, following His instruction on that. We need to do the same today, lest we be wrong in God's sight. In John, the 14th chapter, we find out that in the new covenant, God was going to give a closed revelation. That is, there would be the revealing of the new covenant, which we have as Matthew through Revelation, and it would start orally, and things would be written down, and now we have them preserved as the perfect law of liberty, James 1, 25 through 27, and James 2, 12. Jesus says, and we'll read again today from the New American Standard, this wonderful text, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. As we go down, we have in verse 14 and 15, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now Jesus is going to go away. Turn to John 16, if you will, and look at verses 12, 13, and so on. I have many more things to say to you. John 16, verse 12. But you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Now, what Jesus had been telling them was the truth, but He had not completed the revelation, and the inspiration of God was going to be used so that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and I will say had it written down as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, as we have the epistles to both churches and to local congregations throughout the canon of our New Testaments. For He will speak, He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, verse 14 of John 16, for He will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that He takes of mine and will disclose it to you. A little while and you will no longer see me. And again a little while and you will see me. We're running short on time today, but this happened. Jesus, when He was to ascend to heaven in Acts 1, said for them to go, the apostles, into Jerusalem and wait till they receive the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that without study, you and I have to study, 2 Timothy 2:15. We have to work at it. But the apostles were given inspiration of God so that they could speak the truth. They were given the ability to speak in foreign languages that they'd never studied before. Not only did they not have to study the New Covenant, that was given to them by inspiration, they were able to speak in foreign languages where other people could understand, as the gospel was to go forth in all dialects for all, not just the children of Israel, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Are we carrying forth this message that now has been compiled in the New Testament? God is not revealing new inspiration, new revelation, as some false teachers teach today. No. We have that which is Jude 3, once for all delivered. Just as Christ was once for all offered on the cross for the sins of the world, the revelation that we're to contend earnestly for has been once for all delivered. And it is called the faith. And we need to be working to be united in every aspect of what the individual is to do, what's right and wrong, and what churches are supposed to be doing, what is right or wrong. Thank you so much for listening today. We love you so much. Tune in tomorrow at the same time. We look forward to it, and we bid you a pleasant good day.